listener production.
Hey, Bension Siebert here with The Briefing. Right now, Moshtix is in the process of refunding shitloads of tickets to Splendour in the Grass, a huge disappointment for Kylie, G Flip, and Tash Sultana fans across the country. In this morning's episode, we dug into why so many Australian music festivals are being cancelled. While there are some industry-wide trends we can point to, the organisers of Splendour have offered no real explanation beyond unexpected events forcing the cancellation. It underlines a theme that kind of cuts across major events everywhere. What happens behind the scenes and why seems a tightly held secret. On the other side, most of us have had the experience of waiting anxiously, hoping desperately to buy tickets to one of these events. And often it feels like no matter how quick you are to get onto the website, whether you actually get a ticket seems kind of random. So what's happening in the background when we log on? Who or what decides who gets a ticket? And beyond that, why are so many of these so goddamn expensive? Listener journalist Tessa Randello has gone down the rabbit hole for us. Tessa, thanks for joining us on The Briefing once again. Let's start with the money. How much are we as Australians paying on average for tickets to live music events these days?
So I've got the latest data for 2022 from Live Performance Australia. That's the newest data that we have. The average price for a ticket was $91 on average across Australia. Ticket revenue, though, is $2 billion industry in Australia, and revenue growth is up 195.7%. And for our population, we absolutely love getting tickets. Total attendance was 24.2 million, and that attendance growth was up 122.7%.
Wow, that's a lot of tickets. Presuming that there would be a bunch of people getting multiple tickets, so we're not saying that 24.2 million people, including all the infants around the country, are buying tickets, but still lots and lots of people, lots and lots of tickets. So why is it so hard to get a ticket often to these major events? Is that basically the reason?
Yeah, well, that's the reason that I'm coming to you with. I think that's the reason that we're seeing. There's a massive number of people who are trying to get into a massive number of events that happen. And for our population, we buy a lot of tickets. But I guess this is one of those questions that during my research, I found it really hard to get background data or someone who was able to explain it to me. But from those numbers, I think they speak for themselves.
Sure. Who is making all the decisions when it comes to, I guess, prices and availability?
Yeah, so there's actually a lot of players behind the scenes kind of figuring this out, and all of them have all sorts of deals and all sorts of contracts already in place. But I will let the chief executive of Live Performance Australia, Evelyn Richardson, explain this one for me.
Ticketing prices are generally set by the artists and their managers, and then the ticketing companies provide that service. So they sell the tickets on, you know, on behalf, they're the agent, if you like. So they're not setting the prices. I think a lot of fans or, you know, consumers think that, you know, the ticketing companies do that, but they actually don't.
And I guess that's something that you hear a lot, people kind of complaining, especially when big events come around, they complain about Ticketek. But it's also not just one person's kind of fault that they can't get a ticket or that the ticket price is so high. Those decisions are made through all sorts of different negotiations. But the consumer campaigner, Christopher Zinn, also had this insight for us onto what happens when we have a ticket and when we purchase a ticket.
You don't really own a ticket. A ticket is a license to admit you to an event. So that is a license that they might seek to withdraw or control or modify in some sense. And I'm sure the small print allows that. Whereas most of us, when we buy it, we think, well, that belongs to me. It doesn't always quite belong to you in the way that you might think, unless, you know, things go wrong.
And he also has some insight into why it might feel like we kind of have no idea what's going on in the background.
The point is that these people sell to, they're professionals. They sell tickets every day, tens of thousands of them, and they know how to extract the maximum utility and return that they can. And as a consumer, you're an amateur. You don't actually necessarily know how to do that.
Interesting. So we all know people and probably have experiences ourselves with feeling like either we've missed out unfairly or the ticket price is super high. What systems are there in place to make sure that tickets are sold fairly in Australia?
So we have the consumer watchdog, the ACCC, who can look over some specific things. And I'll read you just a line from a direct statement that we got from them to kind of explain exactly what the ACCC covers. So their direct quote is, the ACCC expects ticket sellers to ensure they have sufficient customer service resources and adequate systems in place in order to manage transactions and customer assistance, particularly for high demand events. And Live Performance Australia, which I also mentioned earlier, is a industry body, and they also have their own ticketing code of practice that everyone who joins them has to use.
Mm. Well, now we have to talk about the infamous lounge on Ticketek. Tell us about that.
So I'm sure you've heard about the lounge. If anyone doesn't even know what the lounge is, when you go onto Ticketek to buy a ticket, you have to wait in basically a loading screen that they call the lounge. And it was revealed that there's actually no queue for the tickets on sale, that people are picked randomly. So it doesn't matter how quickly you get into the lounge, you are picked randomly to get through to buy your tickets. And this was where people waited a very long time for things like Taylor Swift and Fred Again and some of those really big concerts that we've seen come here. TEG is the company that owns Ticketek, and we got a direct response from a spokesperson there. And this is their quote, the Ticketek Lounge is our way to prioritise fair access to tickets for all fans. Everyone in the Ticketek Lounge has an equal opportunity to get into the site regardless of when they arrived. The security and the protections that we have in place will not let bots into the lounge. And they also added this, which I think is probably worth talking about. For context, our systems were able to block over 1 million bot attempts for Fred Again tickets last week and blocked another 500 million bot attempts for when tickets for Taylor Swift's The Eras Tour initially went on sale.
500 million bot attempts.
That's
wow.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a lot of bots. So we have obviously these big companies, Ticketek, Ticketmaster, but there are also smaller sellers. Are they also experiencing these kinds of issues?
It seems like everyone kind of has little issues that seem to happen with ticketing, whether that be availability or the way that the systems work. Kyron Nicholson's a comedian, and he's also the creative director of Melbourne's Comedy Republic. He's experienced his own issues, and he deals with ticketing, obviously, on a daily basis trying to sell comedy tickets. So I just had to share this story with you because I feel like it just sets the scenes perfectly for everyone involved.
We had a big on sale for a bunch of shows that we were doing at Comedy Republic, and we went to go on sale and it was down. The whole website was down. We couldn't sell any tickets. And when I asked why, it's because the ticketing provider had, on that same day and date, launched a table tennis competition somewhere in Malaysia, and the demand for the table tennis tickets was so high, it hurt the servers so much that we couldn't put on our comedy shows in Melbourne. And when I was talking to the people who are running the operation, I was like, I can't tell you how little I care about the table tennis competition in Malaysia.
He also assured us consumers that we're not the only ones who are confused with what's happening on the back end. He also said that as someone who deals with these companies all the time, he's still kind of confused as to how the actual technology itself works, which I guess is pretty telling in itself. But he also did talk about something that I think is worth bringing up, and some of the high administration fees that you can see for different ticketing companies. So every ticketing company has their own, and that is passed on to the consumer, so the person who's buying the ticket. Kyron did mention that it can be around $7 for some of the bigger sellers, and he's adamant he won't use those. He uses some that mean that he just charges his customers, I think, about $1.50 on top of their ticket sale. But he does want to see some change in the way that tickets are sold.
I think it's a huge opportunity for a disruptor to come in and fix it, right? Like I think it's got all the hallmarks of something that we've all been doing for years and years and years. And San Francisco is just waiting, you know, the Silicon Valley is just waiting to jump on this, surely. Like, I just can't believe they haven't done it already.
Well, that's a fascinating point that he makes there. Is there any chance of that? Do we know what's next for the ticketing industry in Australia? Where do we go from here?
Well, a lot of people that I asked this question kind of said it is what it is. We'll kind of see if anything changes. Kyron also did mention that it's kind of a coding issue more than it is anything else when we're getting stuck on loading screens. It's more the technology more than anything. And there's also, we have to think about these massive contracts that also happen in the ticketing industry. So some major stadiums have contracts with certain ticket sellers so that they will sell the tickets for that stadium no matter what's being played there. And then you've also got artists in the background who have their own touring companies and you have to tour with those. So there's also these massive contracts that really dictate how everything is sold, whether people have a choice when they are artists and when they're touring onto how they want to sell their tickets and what kind of ticketing administration fees they're going to share. But the Live Performance Australia Chief Executive, Evelyn Richardson, wants to see the rules around ticketing become blanket rules around the country, because at the moment, it's different in every state.
The issue we've got in Australia is that we don't have uniform, you know, anti-scalping laws. So each state is slightly different, which makes it difficult if you've got a tour moving, you know, from city to city and the rules are slightly different. So we would like to see a consistent national framework with respect to that.
So it sounds like there are lots of deals going on in the background. There's lots of commercial interests involved and a lot that's essentially secret that the public has no real access to. I suppose when you were doing the research for this story, was that one of the major things that you came across, just simply a lack of transparency?
Yeah, I guess it's the thing that I learnt the most about the ticketing industry is that they don't really have to tell us how it works. These big companies all have contracts in confidence with one another and we don't actually have any right to understand what the background is. I did go, as I mentioned, to a lot of the big companies and they would either give me only written responses, which is why I had to read a couple there, or they were unavailable to have conversations. So I guess the biggest thing I've learned from the ticketing industry is that you can dig into it as much as you want, but sometimes you just don't get the answers that you need.
Worth keeping on digging there, I think. Well, thanks so much for your time, Tessa, as always.
Thank you.
Tessa Randello there. That's it for The Briefing this afternoon. If you enjoyed today's episode, please tell a few people about it and click follow or subscribe so you never miss an episode. Have a wonderful long weekend if you're getting one. And don't forget, The Briefing will have fresh stories coming your way every day throughout. We'll be back in the feed with your usual AM and PM episodes tomorrow, plus The Weekend Briefing with Antoinette Latouf and Tom Tilley on Saturday and Sunday. And there'll be more again on Easter Monday. But for now, I'm Ben Sion Siebert. Catch you soon.